going on, Ducks fans? Welcome to Spinning It, special playoff edition right now. My name is DJ Jojo, your host, and look, we are here at the playoff house right now, bringing the show outside of the studio. And yes, the atmosphere here has been absolutely incredible. But I have a couple of special guests here with me. Give it up, Ryan Miller and Guy Bear is here. How you doing, fellas?
The crowd's going crazy right now.
We're in a coffee shop. You know, there's a certain coffee shop etiquette, right? That, you know, people are working, they're studying, and now we're just here in the middle of the coffee shop recording a podcast. So there's a lot going on here. But welcome to the show. Thanks for jumping on. Welcome to the playoff house. Just initial thoughts on the space here.
It's pretty cool. I always used to come down to downtown Orange in between pregame skate and some of our games.
Cause
I would just kind of stick around and get lunch down here. So I like being back here. It's a great little area, especially springtime.
Welcome back. I mean, this obviously we're in the middle of like a old school bank, you know, there's vaults in the back. It's kind of cool. We'll take you guys back there a little later on. But I mean, to kind of turn like a community spot like this into a place where fans can kind of congregate, whether it's a game day or non-game day, Guy, I mean, look at the fans. They're all here. We're in the middle of the day and this place is packed.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to celebrate, right? After a big win last night. And heck, we're sitting here and Coach Tim Army and his wife just walked right by.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is he on next?
Is Coach Hugh coming in to grab a cup of Joe and do some chopping next or what?
I think he was shopping for some friends back east, certainly. But an incredible spot right at the Orange Circle. It's kind of like the main street of Orange, and not that far from the Honda Center. So I know everybody with their shopping needs. There's some nice stuff here. I'm gonna have some swag at the end of this. I think it's on JoJo.
Oh, let's go. Right. Put it down, put my card down. But yes, I mean, it's all throughout this space. I mean, let's talk about it, right? We got the original Flying Bird that you're now seeing, you know, fly across Honda Center in the pregame. This wall back here is cool. It shows all the different accomplishments that we had throughout the regular season that ultimately led to us making the playoffs. And, you know, just going into that, as you just said, we're all happy right now, celebrating a big Game 6 victory, advancing to the second round. I have to get your guys' thoughts on just the game last night in itself. Yeah. Going to the next round.
Oh, it was an exciting game. I was able to bring my son and take in the game. The boys had the energy right from the start. They looked like they were pressing all night on top of the puck. Constantly. I mean, they were in great position all night. And then once they had that puck going down towards the Oilers' net, I think they had, the better of the chances all night. And then a little bit of keep away the third period, but they did a nice job. They closed it out.
Yeah, so I think it all started off with the start of the game, you waving your towels, man. I think between you and the guys, it really set the tone, starting the game there.
Yeah.
What do you think, Guy?
Yeah, listen, there was a great representation of alumni in the house. I, too, was there. I was actually kind of down sitting behind Connor Ingram.
Oh.
And so I had a bird's eye view on all the Ducks goals right there and got the, you know, Millsy and I know. That's kind of the visual we like. We like to see the action coming at us. And it was a great spot to be. The crowd was phenomenal. And they have been all season long. But in the playoffs, we always know how important that is for that little surge of energy. And, you know, when the guys give the fans something to cheer about, it's just that much better. And then I really think that the Ducks, as Millsy was saying, they dictated the pace of play last night. They didn't wait like they did in the game previous. I think that game in Edmonton, they were kind of like, okay, how is this going to go? You know, are they coming out hard? Are they going to let us go? And so I think it was one of those games where they never wanted to get to game 7 and go back to Edmonton.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, going back to that game 5, Ryan, I mean, as former players yourselves, like how do you bounce back from that? Knowing that you're coming back home, right? You could have closed it out on the road. I mean, aside from obviously Coach Q doing this thing, getting the team in the right mindset, I mean, from a former player's perspective, how do you go into that game 6 strong like that?
I think you just have to respect the situation. I think when you're in playoff hockey, I mean, closing out a team is hard. I mean, they don't want to die.
Yeah.
I mean, or it's something where that fourth win in a series is very, very difficult. And I think you have to respect it on the other side. You're never out of it until you're closed out. So I think, you know, that's the beauty of the 7-game series. You know, it's a real grind. It's really hard. And, when the team advances, they truly deserve to advance. So the Ducks did a great job in bouncing back. They got, know, you're in a series, you're gonna get punched, right? You gotta be able to stand back up or get your wits together and keep going. So, you know, they got whacked a little bit in Edmonton, but they came back and dictated. And I think, you know, that's a great sign. You know, the team did a nice job playing the game they wanted, and that's not always easy to do in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's bring it back a little bit. Obviously, the team, you know, obviously struggled a little bit towards the end of the season, quote unquote, kind of limping into the playoffs. A lot of people were even saying,
wounded duck
going in, right? And you know, all the chatter, right, is like, hey, we're playing Edmonton, you know, back-to-back finals appearances. A lot of people were kind of counting us out, right? And so, you know, again, like kind of going into that as a player, you know, kind of talk about, like, especially starting on the road, being able to split 1-1, and then boom, it's a whole other series from there.
Well, I think that first, because it's such a young team, I think it was advantageous to start on the road. I know it sounds kind of weird, but I think Milzia backed me up. Like, it doesn't have to be a pretty game. You can kind of just put, you know, your hard hat on, you grab the lunch bucket, and you just play as simple as possible. And, you know, in game one, I think it was a lot of young guys getting their feet wet in the Stanley Cup playoffs and realizing that the intensity does ramp up and how physical it becomes and the attention to detail. So I think that first game was kind of like an aha moment. They still had a chance to win that game. But in the end, I think they took out of that game some really critical details of what we need to do in game two to kind of, you know, get ourselves and right the ship and be able to come back with a split. Because when you get that split, all of a sudden, when you go home, you're going, we can flip this and turn home ice to our advantage if we can take that next game, which they did.
Absolutely. And for you, Ryan, like, what, as you were watching the games, at what point did you realize, like, you know what, these guys are keeping up with the Oilers and we got a shot here?
I mean, going into this series, I think kind of had that feeling. I think early on you see it. I think anytime you get into a new experience as a young player, or even a team that's just kind of come together, even you could argue it's like, let's see what we can do. And there's always that moment. And then once you kind of do it, it's like unlock something where you're like, oh, we can just keep winning.
Yeah.
It's their kind of this vibe, this feeling, and certainly something we had with teams I played on where you got there, you accomplished it, you're in playoffs. Let's see what we can do. And as you get like that first, you know, taste of success, it's kind of like, oh, we can do it.
Yeah,
do that extra little belief kind of lifts everybody up. So, once you kind of get that feeling, the trick is like with the Ducks, you know, you're gonna get hit. You're not gonna just cruise through the playoffs. You're gonna take that, and how you respond is critical. I thought the responses in that first round were the difference.
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, going to what you were saying about, you know, the young guys, right? You guys were young guys yourself. Let's talk about, you know, obviously Dossie making his playoff debut, but you were once in that spot as well. Let's talk to the fans about that. I got to start with you.
You want to wind the clock way back.
We're winding it back. I mean, I have a kind of an old school feel in this bank right now, you know? So let's wind it back a little bit. Gee, you making your playoff debut. I mean, we know he is the original Mighty Duck. Obviously, franchise history, made the playoffs, I believe, in the 96-97 season, which obviously you're in net for that. But, you know, if you didn't know, he actually made his playoff debut before he was even on the Ducks. Let's talk about that.
I'll do the short lesson because it's a great story. So I'm playing for the St. Louis Blues. It's the second round. We're in Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto. Curtis Joseph's the starting goalie. It's in overtime, and he gets kicked in the head by a skate blade. We think he's really cut and going to be injured and out, so they tap me on the shoulder. I go out there. I haven't played in 5 games. I go out there, look at Maple Leaf Gardens, and have to make one save. All of a sudden, there's the puck on the goal line. Jam my pad out and make the save.
You're feeling good.
And the fans actually go crazy because they're feeling like they're going to get cheated if, like, they score a goal on me and I'm just coming off from the bench. So I make the save. I'm thinking that, hey, this is my moment. I'm going to be the guy for the rest of the playoffs. We were a really good team in St. Louis. And as I'm getting ready for the face-off, I hear this thunderous applause. And I'm like, what is going on?
They're going nuts for you, right?
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. And I was so wrong, because here comes Curtis Joseph skating back onto the ice. And I was stunned, because no one thought he was going to be able to come back. And, of course, as goaltenders are, we're warriors.
Absolutely.
And Cujo came back and got back in the net, and I skated back. And I got a big round of applause for being able to go on and not wreck the game for anybody.
Yeah.
So, but that was my first taste. Then, of course, you know, transitioning to the first ever playoff game in the pond back in the day, the Honda Center, just to be able to play that first ever playoff game in the history of it was an amazing feeling. We stole the whiteout from Winnipeg because we were playing Phoenix Coyotes.
Yeah.
So Winnipeg went to Phoenix.
Yep.
We had home ice advantage, and our coach Ron Wilson said, you know what, we're going to steal their thunder. We're going to have a whiteout of our own, which really kind of irritated the Phoenix Coyotes, as you can imagine.
Dang. So that came from the team side, that you guys wanted the whiteout?
That's what it was, is that the coach talked to a general manager, Jack Ferrer, and said, hey, we should steal this idea from them and turn the table. So it went over great. As you can imagine, the Honda or the pond, everything white towels, the whole thing, and we won, right? And so that was even better, winning that first ever game in the building.
Let's go. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a bit.
Hey, how much time do you have?
Did we
talk about it for a long time?
That's a hell of a story there. But to go back to that first playoff game, was there anything that was said between you two as you kind of swapped back out? I mean, do you say something to your backup at the time? Like, hey, thanks, buddy. Like, thanks for holding it down for the last minute or so. Like,
you have a good, I've always had good relationships with, my goalie partner, whether I was backup or I was the first string guy, quote unquote.
Sure.
Especially in the playoffs. I mean, like, you guys are like almost against the world because you know how important your job is. There's a lot of support between the two guys. And then, you know, like, if it's not your night, sometimes you just aren't playing well, and then that's when your backup's got to come in and kind of shut the door and give that team that boost that they need.
I'm just going to add to your story that roar from the crowd was equally loud for you as much as him coming back in the game. I'm just saying.
Well, thank you, Joe. Yeah.
And what about you, Ryan? Your playoff debut in Buffalo,
in
2006, yeah. I believe.
Yeah, we were playing at home against Philly. We had a good young team. We turned it on late in the year, really kind of crept our way up there. And it was that really kind of like a prove-it kind of game. Like, we got into that game and ended up going double overtime. So it's just one of those moments where the crowd's going crazy. Imagine Buffalo. You know, I think everyone's watching Buffalo right now, seeing some little action and all the social media about what Buffalo's going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was exactly the same way back then. Just a lot of hype, people just up and down the streets, everyone just all in for the Sabres, and they're in the arena going crazy, outside the arena. And when we won in double overtime, I think the ceiling just about busted open, and it really was like a prove it moment. Like, we all were just like, wow, that was awesome. And it ended up being a good series. You know, we won the first two games at home. We went and got punched right in the mouth. We lost the next two games in their rink. But then we won the next two games after that, so it was 2-2-2 in a six-game series. It really gave us a big boost. Like, we really were like, okay, we can do something here. We had a great run. We ended up losing to Carolina in Game 7 in the conference final, which is still a thorn in my side. But it's it was a great run, and it really is inspired by those first few games of, you know, that feeling like, okay, we can do this.
Wow. I mean, what a run in your first year going to the playoffs, making it all the way to the conference final. You know, for a question for both of you, I mean, that playoff debut, how much of a difference is that to even like your NHL debut, right? Does it feel similar in a way? But in a way, obviously, you have more experience on your belt. You're going to the playoffs. Obviously, you had a successful year going into that. Kind of talk through kind of those feelings, maybe the potential jitters of that. Again, like, it's another debut nonetheless, right? Making the playoffs, so.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I think for my NHL debut, it was just seeming like a long time coming. And, you know, I always joke that, like, hey, if I could play one game in the NHL, the rest of it would be gravy. Later in my career, I actually was able to say, when I retired, I was able to have a lot of gravy.
Yeah.
But I think that the jitters are pretty similar. The fact that, you know how important your job is. You can't really make any mistakes. you know you're probably going to get scored on, and it's how I respond to, you know, that moment. Like, can't get rattled, and you have to just get up and make that next save. So, you know, I think, you know, having the experience of playing for, you know, a few seasons, and then having the first chance to go into the, you know, Stanley Cup playoffs, I think you're better prepared than you are for that first ever game. But still, I think that that intensity and the meaning of what you're playing for your city and your teammates and your organization, and you know it's a best of seven series, so you know that, you know, it's not going to be easy. Things are going to go in your favor and others aren't. And much like Millsy, like, hey, we started off great. We won the first two games against Phoenix at home. We thought we were going to walk away, sweep them in four. Same thing. We got punched in the mouth. It was 2-2, came back, lost at home. We're all of a sudden on the ropes. Won an overtime game to get it to game seven, and then won game seven in our building with the 3-0 shutout. So, you know, it's just that all that stuff, and we talk about scar tissue for athletes. There's good scar tissue, and there's bad scar tissue. And I think that the best athletes are able to compartmentalize the negative thoughts, negative scar tissue, and kind of put it to the side. And then all that other stuff, you build on all the positives that you can.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you, even going through your debut, as you play more games, I mean, kind of talk through, Ryan, like, does that kind of get easier along the way? You're talking about, like, you know, getting punched in the mouth the next two games. How much does, like, really, from your perspective, especially as a goaltender, like, that home ice, you know, perspective, obviously the fans feel it, but, like, it's got to be way different from your guys, and especially again, as a goaltender's in net.
Yeah. No, I mean, from my experience, it was kind of the culmination. Like, so building up to that, I've had 3 years in the minors where we went deep in the playoffs, coming out of college where we went deep playoff runs. Like, you're building towards it, and I think that's for something where, you know, you have Dostal here. He's been building for a long time.
Yeah.
He's experienced at different levels, you know, winning with the Czechia in the Worlds, you know, representing them in the Olympics. It's all these important games and all these NHL seasons and the opportunities, you know, they kind of build towards it. And yeah, I think this is a great opportunity for him. And like, that's kind of how I took it when I had the experience, I was ready to go, let's see how it goes. And it's an exciting time, but it's definitely one where you have to be willing to ebb and flow with it. And you saw Dosti get pulled out of the game and then have to come back and win a big game the next day. Like, it's going to be a roller coaster. It's going to be all over the place. You don't know what's going to happen half the time. And you just have to kind of just stay within yourself and play your best game and see where it can go, because we're always surprised by playoffs about what can happen on the ice at times. So I think the teams that win just definitely, they believe in each other. They get their game plan and they just do their best, shift in, shift out, game in, game out, and you know, when they're standing at the end, that's probably the reason why.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you even just mentioned right now, you know, Dosti playing for Team Czechia. You both represented Team USA in the Olympics as well. And so how much does that translate, that experience playing on the world stage, to then, you know, that experience of, you know, playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, it's great preparation, right? I mean, you try to find a way that emulate that intensity and that kind of importance. And I think that when you're representing your country, it's a big deal. And whether it's, you know, World Championships, World Cups, Olympics, you know, when you put that jersey on, you're representing a little bit more than you do for your own NHL team. So I just think all those moments, you know, I even talk about the kids who play in the World Junior Championships. I mean, that tournament itself, with kids that are like 18 years old, is so intense that after that, if they're able to play in those tournaments, that's such a great way to shorten the learning curve as they become professionals. But I do think that, you know, Dostal in particular, yeah, he's been in those pressure pack moments. He's been relied upon to make the big saves for his teams. And, you know, like, as goaltenders, we're goalies because we like the limelight. We want to be the guy. We want to be the star and the hero and make that crucial save. And I think that's what drives most, if not all of us, to be a goaltender. So, you know, I think, you know, I don't want to speak for Millsy, but, you know, you have to have that self-belief. You almost have to be a little bit cocky, and you have to be able to have really thick skin. And when you put all those things together in a recipe, a lot of your mindset sets you to be, okay, like, I am mentally prepared for what's ever going to happen. And good, bad, or indifferent, but it is how you respond at the end of the day to anything that goes on. So I think the guys on this team right now are all playing their own role. And I think that's really important as they move forward in the next round, is don't try to do too much. You know, defensemen don't need to do a forwards job and vice versa, because when you do your own role, then no one has to feel like they're compensating for the other player.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to compare, Ryan, like I gotta ask, like, what is a bigger moment? Where do you feel it the most? A game seven of a deep series, or that gold medal game? What's crazy?
They're pretty similar feeling.
Yeah.
It's all on the line in that moment. And you just want to put your best out there. You just want to be as prepared as you get. And it's still a team game. You just want to do your heart. But the stakes are high, and you can learn from every situation. I think that everything builds towards, you know, your current moment.
Yeah,
you can use everything you look back on. I think that you've got a good mix with the Ducks of veteran and youngs. I think that's actually a great way to do it. You got guys who know how to do it and guys who have no idea what's going to possibly happen. So why don't we just go play great hockey and then not a care in the world? I think that's a great mix, because it's a nice energy. I think some guys, so veteran, they can think through everything and they're cool. And some guys are so young, they have no idea what's happening sometimes in the moment. You're just like, yeah, great, mash it up, get out there, and that energy is nice and high.
Yeah. You know, going back to that team dynamic, curious to see what your perspective is, obviously, now, right? Like, being once that young guy and listening to the vets, and then eventually being that vet trying to, you know, guide the young guys. When you guys were the young guys, what was something that you took from the vets, and maybe at the time you're like, man, shut up, you don't know what you're talking about, that you later then were like, you know what, no, he was right, and now I'm trying to instill it into the young guys.
I think I was a pretty good listener, but I think because you see these guys who've gone to war or won a cup or come to 40, done some amazing things. I think the one thing that always stood out in the locker room around this time when I was younger was, we're fine. We're all good. It's all fine. Like, that was actually reassuring, because it's like, man, we just got beat twice in a row. Oh my God, this is spiraling. Like, it's going this way.
And at the time, you're probably, as a younger, be like, no, we're not fine. What are you talking about? We're not fine. Like,
creeps in your head. I mean, you're not panicking completely, but the dark thoughts creep in. And
sure.
I think the veteran guys are there to make sure that, you know, that dark passenger doesn't take over, or it's just kind of like, we're fine.
Yeah.
Here's why we're good. Your coach just help remind you and lay it out. So, you know, that belief is always kind of sitting right there.
Yeah, totally.
And you just got to make sure you focus on it and you keep going back to work.
I guess that is a different perspective too. If I'm a young guy and one of the vets is telling me we're fine, I might be thinking like, well, yeah, you're fine. You got your spot on the team. I'm battling. I might be going back and forth. You know, but I guess that's where the maturity comes in eventually, right? Where, like, you know what? No, that. Thank you. Like, that's actually calming me down a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that the young guys have respect for the veterans,
sure.
And it boils down to that. Where if a veteran is sitting you down or talking just openly in the locker room, because you know that they've already gone through this, that, you know. Again, a lot of times, what you don't know doesn't hurt you. So as a rookie, sometimes you're like, well, of course I can go and do this. And why can't I try to beat that guy? Or why can't I try to beat that guy and his defense partner? And, oh, I created the turnover, and then it's in the back of our net. So it does take, you know, not just the coaching staff, but a lot of times in the playoffs, it's really just the guys in the room who are setting the standard, making people accountable. And when you screw up, they speak up and tell you. And a lot of times, you know, the greatest power of any coach is playing time. And so if you continue to make the same mistakes, usually you get toward that end of the bench where you're getting less and less playing time. And it happens. It happens to everybody. But the smarter players and guys who are more willing to listen certainly are able to, you know, they'll understand what's being told them and they'll be able to incorporate it into their game.
Absolutely. Man, thank you guys so much for jumping on the show. Man, we can talk forever now.
Yeah, we
can. I might need to go grab some coffee. But, you know, last thoughts here. Hey, we've made it to round two. We got our first taste of playoffs for the first time in 8 years. First playoff victory in 9 years. Like, moving on to the second round, thoughts on the next round, regardless of who we play, and yeah, a message out to the fans on what to kind of expect here moving forward.
I'll dump it to Millsy first.
Joe Mills.
No, it's just an exciting time. It's a big accomplishment to make the playoffs. It's a tough league, and to make it on to the second round, it's also a big accomplishment. So just have fun, enjoy, bring out the energy. It's springtime hockey. I know that we don't have the seasons here like other places.
Yeah.
But I can tell you for places like, you know, like Buffalo, for example, where I played a lot, long time, getting through a hard winter and then having spring hockey where everyone's hanging out of the patios and like, watching yeah. some hockey, the lucky people at the rink are in there.
Do Sabres fans jump on tables too, like the Bills fans do, or are they a little more tame?
That wasn't really a thing when I was there.
It might be now.
It's a very modern Bills thing, honestly. Like, they've always been wild.
Yeah.
But being known for a particular antic, I think they were capable of a lot more when I was there. I think the social media has put an emphasis on some stuff, but there's probably some stuff that shouldn't have made it to social media that is very popular as well. So I don't know. That energy when you come to these towns when it's a lot, like, get that winter, you get through it, and then springtime hockey. I think it's a cool vibe to it. So I think just everyone here should appreciate, you know, you got a lot of fun stuff happening. You're on to round two, so you got another 10, 14 days of just fun at least.
Yeah. At least.
Enjoy.
Well, congrats to you. I mean, the fact that you're able to see it again from this perspective now, whether it's the Ducks, now seeing the Sabres across the country, seeing the fandom, like, it must be really fun for you to experience it all right now.
Yeah, it's nice to have the teams I play for and the communities I care about getting rewarded for being hockey fanatics. I
mean, yeah.
Like, you love the sport. You love to see your players play well. You love to see the action. And last night I got to bring my son to the game, and he's been itching. He's been watching every playoff game of the Ducks and every other team, and just going down the stats. Like, he's got it locked in.
Oh, he's locked in.
And he had a blast last night, and it was a great, great game for him to see a handshake line.
That's right. Let's go. And Keith, you know, throughout the years, again, original Mighty Duck, you were our first goaltender in our franchise history to make the playoffs. I mean, and now to kind of see the ebbs and flows of the organization. Again, we hit a drought over the last 8 years, but we're back. I mean, tell the fans how you're feeling right now.
Well, I feel fantastic because, listen, it is, you know, when you kind of rise to the top, you're able to win a Stanley Cup and then compete for years after. Eventually, those players get old, retired, their skills decline, and then you kind of almost have to start from scratch again. And it takes a while to rebuild a franchise. And so it's taken a while. But, you know, everybody's been patient, including the fans. Thank you for being patient. Nothing's guaranteed in any sport, right? So you're never guaranteed that you're going to be in the playoffs, even if you're a good team the year before. So I think that the players, the fans, we should all enjoy this ride because it's special. We got some special players. We got some special veterans. We got some really special, talented young players that are going to be here hopefully for a decade and be able to watch them in playoffs for a long time and hopefully hoist another Stanley Cup. So I do. I'm just going to buckle up. Enjoy the ride as much as anybody else. And I, too, will be at the Honda Center waving my towel like everybody else.
We got to get you over there. Well, thanks again. And big shout-outs again to Ryan Miller, Guy Bear, for jumping on the show. Let's go, Ducks. See you next time.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.